Good morning and praise the Lord. Let us open our Bibles and read Matthew chapter 16 verses 13 to 28. Matthew chapter 16 verses 13 to 28, King James Version. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjuna, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I see also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how what he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Let us pray. Lord, we come before you in the name of, in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you. We adore you. And we magnify you that you are always with us, with your promises and the Holy Spirit. Let us now give thanks to God for all the blessings we receive from him. Lord, we thank you for all your faithfulness, your loving kindness to us. We are grateful to all that we receive to sustain us and provide all our needs. Lord, thank you for all answered prayers, for the healing, the salvation, your promises to us that are written in your word. Lord, thank you for the deliverance, for the food, the discipline, for the shelter. For all those things in our lives had comes from you. Hallelujah. Let us now confess our sins to God as he said in his word. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess and repent of your anger, laziness, the work of flesh, your bad stewardship and bad example, non-willingness to serve God, wasting time on the media, and whatever sin you are doing. Lord, we confess our sins and renounce them. Lord, we commit ourselves not to do them again. We humble down before you to cleanse us and purify us once again by your blood that shed on the cross for us, so we can come in your presence with clean and pure heart. Let us now pray for our personal requests and petitions. For God said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Lord, we thank you for answering our petitions and giving us all our needs, in Jesus' name. Let us pray for our families, pray for your husband, pray for your wife, pray for your children, pray for your parents, and pray for your siblings. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all the families who continue to live in your name. Lord, we pray for the salvation of all those among them who are unsaved. Lord, we pray for the protection and divine intervention to every one of them. We pray for every husband to continue to persevere, to stand firm, to do your will and the plan to their families. We pray you give them wisdom how to deal with every circumstance that they are passing through. Lord, give them good health, strength, stable job and income to provide the needs of their families. We pray for their wives to have good health, strength, and submissive spirit to their husbands. We pray for each wife to unite with her husband to do your will in the affairs of their family. Lord, we pray for the youth and the children to protect them from the works of the enemy, and that they will accept the discipline of their parents and to stop wasting time on the social media. Lord, we pray that they will repent from their arrogance, pride, foolishness, and naughtiness that are not pleasing in your sight. Lord, help the children and the youth to persevere in the discipline of their parents, and that they will serve you, continue to do your works and your will. Lord, we pray that you continue to help and aid all the single parents in the church to raise their children in the fear of God. Let us now pray for our jobs, pray for your boss and your colleagues to be saved. Lord, we thank you for our jobs that you gave to us to bless us and sustain us. Lord, we pray to bless the places that we are working by giving them more income so we can continue to receive our salaries on time, and so we give what is due for you. Lord, we pray to help us to be noble vessels of your blessings to the people around us by preaching your word to them and by our good example to them, by submitting to our superiors and working diligently for our services is not to please men, but to please you, O Lord, for the fulfillment of your word, that our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify you, our Father in heaven. Lord, we pray for the salvation of our bosses and our colleagues and all the people that we are serving, in Jesus' name. Let us now pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. Lord, we earnestly ask your help to provide and sustain them and encourage them through your word. Lord, heal those who are sick among them. Give job and income to those who are jobless and wisdom and solutions to those in trials. In Jesus' name. Let us now pray for our neighbors, colleagues, relatives, people in our countries back home, and those whom we meet daily in the streets, in the markets, in our working places to be saved. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach your gospel to them. Lord, we pray to make a way to all those people whom we are reaching, that you open and soften their hearts to choose to obey, believe, and live by your word. Lord, move upon their lives and prove your word to them. We seek your divine intervention into their life to come out from their bandages and receive the salvation that comes from you in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for UAE and the extension of the church in other countries in Oman, Kuwait, Iraq, Pakistan, India, Philippines, Sri Lanka, and Armenia. Let us pray for the favor of God that he will provide for all the logistic needs, offices, and documentations needed. Lord, we pray for your salvation to flow to new people in those countries that they will know you. Lord, we commit ourselves to preach the gospel to them. Lord, we commit ourselves once again to obey and follow the rules and the regulations as we abide in your commands to us. Lord, protect your church, sustain and provide all the needs in those places for your glory, so your work will continue to be done. Lord, bless all those places so your church will be blessed. Lord, unite us, revive us, uphold us, and enable us to continue to reach new people, preach the gospel to them, and teach them how to live according to your word in Jesus' name. Let us now pray for the church and for all the ministries of the church to grow. Let us pray for more evangelism, more Bible study groups, and more congregations to be planted. Lord, we pray to add more workers to us. We pray for more people to get water baptized and more to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you enable us to spread the gospel in other places, to new cities, towns, villages, countries, new languages, and new ethnic groups. Lord, we pray that you will bless the church school, the church banking, the church clinic, the farming ministry, the watchman ministry, the publications, the children and youth under their parents, the wives under their husbands, the translation ministry, and the website. Lord, help us and open to us effective doors to reach the lost and to impart to them your word and the true way how to live in righteousness and holiness. In Jesus' name. Lord, bestow on us the spiritual gifts that we need to teach them your ways and to heal the sick, to evangelize, and to declare to them your will. Lord, we commit ourselves to reproduce more fruit of the Holy Spirit to manifest in our lives the love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faith, long-suffering, kindness, patience, and self-control, so people will see Jesus in our lives. In Jesus' name. Let us pray for our service. Lord, we lift up into your hand our service today. Bless every item of our service. Bless our prayer, our worship songs, and the giving. Lord, anoint the speaker and give us your word that we need and speak to us. Lord, bless also the recording to which the rest of the church congregations, workers, members, and families, and the lost, and to have the fruits that you desire to see. Lord, hear our prayers for your name's sake, that your name will be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now stand and start to praise and worship the Lord. As we gather in this place today, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Have your way. As we lay aside our own desire, sweep across our hearts with holy fire. Have your way. This is your house, your home. We welcome you, Lord, we welcome you. This is your house, your home. We welcome you today. As we offer up our hearts and lives, let them be a living sacrifice. Have your way. Be glorified in everything we do. Be glorified in everything we say. Have your way. This is your house, your home. We welcome you, Lord, we welcome you. This is your house, your home. We welcome you today. As we praise, O Lord, draw near. Is your your house, your home. We welcome you, Lord, we welcome you. This is your house, your home. We welcome you today.
Yes, Lord.
We welcome you today. We welcome you today. In the morning hour, in the evening late, I'm gonna praise your name. In the morning hour, in the evening late, I'm gonna praise your name. In the morning hour, in the evening late, I'm gonna praise your name.
The morning hour in the evening late, I'm gonna praise your name. For when I praise your name, my strength is renewed. You strengthen me, Lord. When I praise your name, the demons tremble at the sound of your name. Tremble at the sound of your name. The morning hour in the evening late, I'm gonna praise your name. In the morning hour, in the evening late, I'm gonna praise your name. I'm gonna praise your name. I'm gonna praise your name. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at Thy impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be sweet and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me see always only for my King. Always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee. Take my silver and my gold, blood of my light would I withhold, blood of my light would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee, ever only all for Thee.
Lord, I come to You. Let my heart be changed in You, flowing from the grace that I find in You. Lord, I come to know the weaknesses I see. In me will be stripped away by the power of Your love. Hold me close, let Your love surround me. Your side, and as I wait, I rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with You. Your Spirit leads me on,
in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see your face to face. The knowledge of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life and living every day. In the power of your love, Holy Ghost,
and we praise you, Lord. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Let's continue watching God, what we give to Him. We continue to speak about Paul teaching to the church of Corinth, and he told them, 1 Corinthians 9, 13 and 14, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live from the gospel. It's more about all the things that God commanded his people to give to support the work and tithes, virus offerings, person fruits, and vows, whatever they want to give to God. The alms, temple tax. We spoke about these things in all details, the need of accommodation and whatsoever. In the book of Luke, chapter 21, and verse 1 to 4, how we can bring all these things together is easy, and in the New Testament, there is a good illustration from the book of Luke. When Jesus was in the temple and he was seeing the people bringing their different kinds of offering to them to the treasury. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said of truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her finery has cast in all the living that she had. So here, there's very good illustration. You know, even the very poorest person had brought to God. And that's a widow. So there's no excuse. Whoever you are. Plus here, they were, let's mention here, the offerings of God. Different kinds of offerings. Salads, fresh food, you can bring to God. Recently, there's a widow has joined our church. God make a way that she will join. She has 5 children. The eldest of them is 11 years old. This widow, when she joined the church, she did not ask about help or support. How I come to know about her? I come to know that she's attending the church. That congregation, they sent me the list of those attendings. But first 2 weeks, her name was not there. But I come to know that there's a new person coming by the list of the tithes that they are sending, list of tithes and offering and also first group, whoever giving. Every week, I come to know that there's a new person giving her tithes. I ask, who is this new person? And told me she's a widow. She work a maid in house. Her salary is, they give it to her weekly. Weekly, she bring tithes to God. Let us learn. No. There's no excuse. You know, there's only one thing when you don't bring to God. It means that you are saying to God, you are not giving me anything. That's the meaning of it. There's no other meaning. And I tell you, God will do the same also. When you do like that, He will also not give. Why I teach about giving? Because if you will not give, you will not receive. And if you will not give, even if you will receive, listen to me, you're going to waste it. It will be taken away from you with the troubles. Why we teach giving? Because not only written, but the blessing of it. And we know that those who do not give what belong to God, there's no excuse. Widows, orphans, God is giving you. You bring to God. How we as a church know all these scriptures together? It's easy. I will just tell it to you. The new disciple who come to God when we preach the gospel, we teach them first to give their tithes. Why? Not because we are in need. First, because this is the only scripture there's a promise. That there is very clear that I'll open the floodgates of heaven and I'll bless you. And for us, so much blessing, you have no place to keep. And second, I will rebuild the devourer. That is how we teach to combat poverty and how to combat troubles by giving tithes. I have famous saying, it is next to impossible to work and do ministry with somebody who does not give his tithes. Why? Always a trouble. Always from a problem to another problem. You solve one issue, another big headache will come. Why? Robbers of God. First, we teach them to tithe. Second, we teach them to pay their debts. While they are paying their debts, we teach them to give offerings. After they pay their debts, we teach them to give their, to save, to start saving. And to have good capital to be settled. After they are settled, we teach them to give their first fruit to God. How we teach this? We don't only say give. We teach them to leave their idols, their own will. There are a lot of idols. I spoke about it all my teaching against these idols. So that you will know how to keep your finances unto God. So that when you give, God will bless you. the idols of education, the idols of immigration, the idols of the real estate, the idols of giving your own will. You have your own project, your own idols. This is where the money will go, and you will be harassed because it is not God's will, and you will not be able to give. So we teach the people to cut all these idols so they will be able to be directed to give what is due to God. We teach them virus offering. We teach them if they want to offer vow or something to God. We not yet read the situation that we teach them to give to support the accommodation or the other logistic needs, because what we collect from tithes, virus offering, and from fast food and vows is more than what we need. But I tell you, this whole scripture is correct. If we will need, we use the scriptures. All scripture, I am telling you, all the scripture of these studies, the blood of Jesus does not cancel any part of giving except his blood for forgiveness of for our sins. This we cannot do it by money. But the rest, the part of giving that pertains to giving to support the work of God and the ministry and the ministers, the workers, the poor and needy, and the worship places and all the logistic needs is all valid. And the proof is Apostle Paul. Let's collect our tithes, offering, first fruits, bow, whatever we want to offer to God, let's bring to Him. All this what I teach, I do. And God has blessed me. If I don't do these things regularly, I will not teach you. Thank you, God, for all what you give, what you provide. Thank you for your word that teach us, discipline us, correct us, help us to understand your way. Bless your people who brought their tithes, offering, first fruits, and also, Lord, their vows, and especially those who are poor, but they brought all that they live on for you. Lord, you bless them. Open the windows of heaven and bless your people. And for us, so much blessing that we have no place to keep. I rebuke all the vows in our life, pestilence, fines, penalties, sicknesses. We rebuke them all in the name of Jesus. Enable us as a church to use this money wisely. I pray use it to reach the lost. Help us to declare your will and to teach your people to continue to follow you, to continue to do the work of yours away from idol and to do your will in full. O God, we thank you, bless you. This all prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Let us continue our worship to God by listening to His word. I am reading from the message of our overseer, Dr. Ramis, entitled with The Duties of the Priest, Part 6, The Impact of One Family. Let us pray. Lord God, we praise and honor you. Thank you, Lord, for your gratefulness and loving kindness to us. Lord, I pray for this message that will enlighten to the mind and heart of every hearers, especially parents, to desire to seek your will and purpose, and have willingness to endure the challenges of life in this world, how to raise their children in the fear of you. And to those who willingly to abide your will in their family lives, Lord, grant them favor to complete their task and accomplish it in due time. For you are God who knoweth them who trusted in thee. Lord, I pray, raise up more faithful believers to accomplish your purpose. Anoint my lips to deliver it clearly with the conviction of the Holy Spirit to put to practice this message in Jesus' name. Amen. A priestly family is composed of father, mother, children, and God's word as the ruling authority in their home. A Christian family driven by a purpose, led by a courageous and godly parents, can make a great difference in the society and the history of mankind. Their family life could be a challenge to the society and would challenge the world to know Christ and to serve God. A godly family could be productive and effective while they work together to achieve their purpose as God's chosen people to nurture priests and servants of the living God. Such family can, with God's help, produce a leader who will be able to impact the assembly of God's people. Surely, God would enable a determined family that serves and honors Him to stand boldly and face the world with the uncompromising message of salvation. Letter A, the impact of one family to raise up a leader. In Egypt, the descendants of Jacob became slaves to Pharaoh after the death of Joseph's generation. Kindly open your Bible in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verses 6 to 22. Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 to 22. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it came to pass that, when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Siprah, and the name of the other Poah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew woman and see them upon the stalls, if it be a son, then ye shall kill them. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the man children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwives come into unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. The devil was using the Egyptian rulers to harm the descendants of Jacob, the families of the Israelites. They put more pressure in the hard work of the fathers, and they killed the newborn male babies of the mothers. Yet, the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. The Israelites stayed and multiplied in Egypt for more than two centuries, till the time that God remembered their cry for a deliverer, and he sent Moses, a leader, to lead them out of Egypt. the story of how Moses was brought up and how he led the multitude of Israelites out of Egypt are truly amazing events that show how one family, the chosen people of God and His church, can greatly contribute and impact the society. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she called, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the plugs by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to read what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I draw him out of the water." In the midst of persecution, one family strived to save the life of their baby boy. They did their best to protect their child and to shelter him from the enemy because they had faith in God that the child could make a lot of difference in the future for the whole Israelite community. The whole family preserved and they did their best. The whole family persevered and did their best to protect the child. God saw their genuine concern to care for this gift of life, and so He did a great miracle by providing the facility and care for the child to grow in Pharaoh's palace. God moved through the lives of the members of this family who were united and determined to save the life of their boy. We can notice the following in what they did to save the life of their child. That number one, the family acted in faith. They saw that he was a goodly child. They discerned that God would do something with their child. Number two, the family acted courageously. They were not afraid of the king's edict. Number three, the family cared tremendously. They hid him for 3 months at home. Number four, the family acted wisely. They got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch to keep it safe in the water. Number five, the family acted creatively. They put a cover over the basket to protect him from the crocodiles of the Nile River that Pharaoh's daughter needed to open it to see the child. Number six, they acted shrewdly. The sister stood at a distance, and then she said to Pharaoh's daughter in Exodus chapter 2, verse 7, Exodus chapter 2, verse 7, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" Number seven, they acted humbly. His mother accepted the payment from Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." This family of Moses was living in God's will and acting in faith, and their fruit was Moses, whom God used to deliver the people of God, the Israelites, the typical church from the hands of Pharaoh. Moses became the prince's son but was nurtured by his family. He lived in the palace but was also trained by his parents. His own family, though consisting only of a few members who lived for God and kept God's word alive in their home, had stood the test of persecution in spite of all pressures and trials in life, and they remain even today. As a challenge for parents of this generation, and even for us, who are determined to raise up children to serve God. Letter B, the impact of one family to challenge the church and the world. The impact of one family to challenge the church and the world. Moses led the people to the border of the promised land. Then Joshua, being Moses' aide, was finally chosen by the Lord to become the successor of Moses to lead the people into the promised land. Numbers chapter 27, verses 18 to 23. Numbers chapter 27, verses 18 to 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom in the spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And when thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. And his word shall they go out, at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Truly, Joshua led the Israelites victoriously across the Jordan River into the promised land. And he fought the Lord's battle and won. He took many cities, defeated many kings, and conquered almost all the allocated land that he ought to win for God's people. In his leadership, he showed integrity, and he obeyed fully the whole instructions of the Lord given him through Moses. Joshua was not just a man for war and fighting, but he was also a man who cared for his family and trained his household to fear God and serve him faithfully. In his farewell address to the Israelites' people that he was leading, he challenged them to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua found confidence in his own family that even if the whole Israelite community would leave the ways of God, he and his family will continue to serve God and carry on the message and the work of God to the next generation. Joshua faced the people of God, the 12 tribes of Israel, with a message to throw away the idols that they have. And he boldly challenged them that if they are not willing to serve God, who brought them out of Egypt, then they need to choose which God and idols they will serve. If they didn't choose to serve God, then they were choosing to serve the demons' gods. Joshua told them in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Number one, the gods your forefathers served beyond the river. This represents the old religion that you had before you came to know God and follow Christ. They are also the traditional practices that are linked with that particular religion. It is not enough to leave the old religion, but the practices that are linked with that tradition as well, because those practices are of sinful nature. Number two, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. This represents the gods in this world nowadays. They are money, electronic devices, lust, power, fame, and everything that money can buy. They are the feast offered to idols as Christmas, New Year, birthdays, Halloween, Valentine, Father's Day, Mother's Day, etc. They are the immoralities in the form of boyfriend, girlfriend, dating, courting, live-in relationship, divorce and remarriage, single parents marrying not the parents of their children, the homosexuality, etc. These are what most people are worshiping today. But the Word of God admonishes us and says, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If you love the things of this world, then you are an idol worshiper. If you cannot separate yourself from worldly things and worldly desires, you cannot serve the living God. Joshua was aware that traditional practices and worldly things would enter and engross the assembly because certain members and workers would invite or already were inviting them to turn back to their old life. But Joshua stood firm and he faced the whole congregation of the people of God. He was bold and confident because he was sure that he could serve God with his family even if no other people would stand with him. Joshua was competent to boldly say to the complacent Israelites, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Letter A, because Joshua's family was not following any old religious idol worship. Letter B, because Joshua's family was not adopting any worthless practices. Letter C, because Joshua's family was not influenced by the gods of the world or the people around them. Letter D, because Joshua was realizing the great impact of his family on the life of the congregation of the Israelites. Joshua was challenging the whole community of the Israelites to follow the example of his family, to live in holiness, and to serve God and follow him wholeheartedly. Because Joshua built up his full trust in God as he did his part to lead his family in serving the Lord in holiness. He cared for his family and his household and led them to fear God and live according to the ways of God. These were the expression of his full trust in the Lord. Let us be challenged by the leadership of Joshua, who was a true leader, He managed his household, and he was backed up by his family in serving the Lord. Many pastors and ministers serve God, but they leave their families behind them. Before fully being involved in the ministry in the church, let us work hard to build our families, so that when our family matures and becomes strong, standing firm in the Lord, they will give us the bonus, the stamina, and the encouraging strategy to correct and challenge the people to follow God and serve Him like we do as a family. Let us endeavor to obey God by caring for our families and raising our children in the fear of God and walking in His truth. Let us invest time in the family, give effort to read the Bible, and pray with them. Let us be an effective leader, teaching our household God's word as we continue worshiping the Lord together and training them to serve God. Soon, we will reap a harvest. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The word of God instructs us to do good to the family of believers. Then how much more we are called to care well for our families who have been no one but us. We are assigned by God to care for them. If we do well in this aspect, then our families, spouses, and children will be our co-workers to support us and the ministry that the Lord entrusts to us. They will be our encouragement in the times of frustration and discouragement. They will be our Savior to face the road and the people who went away from God. Then we can make a big impact in the community around us and to the community of believers by setting them a model example of our family that they can see and follow. Our families that we raised up in the fear and service of the Lord are the reserve of God to us, and they are our faithful co-workers to correct and rebuke backsliders. They are our faithful supporters in the mission field, in reaching the lost around us with the uncompromising message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. My dear and beloved, our family may be composed of only few members, but we can create a great impact as we walk faithfully with God and let His word be the ruling authority in our home. Let us lead our family with confidence and make a great difference in the society and history of mankind. Let us be determined as godly parents to nurture our children to become godly leaders of the next generation who will serve our God effectively and productively. Finally, our faithfulness to lead and care for our family would become a source of blessing to us and to the people around us. So let us be responsible and let us stand firm to do our part for God and as royal priests of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead to give me eternal life. Lord, thank you for your encouraging word and the teaching that motivated me to go to build up my family members and children to go on together and serve you. Lord, thank you for all the members of my family who are doing their best to help me in serving you. Come now to God and confess your sins. Confess and renounce your lack of giving time to your family, to read the Bible with them, to pray with them, and to train them. Confess and renounce your worldliness, your love for the world, your yoke and wasting time with non-believers and friends, and in bondage with the media, news, and games. Confess and renounce your idol worship in the form of keeping practices of the old religion, feast offered to idols, your lust and immoralities, your love for money, and wasting your resources on things unnecessary. Confess and renounce your lack of faith and easily get discouraged. Confess and renounce your compromises and your unwillingness to persevere and stand firm in front of challenges and persecution. Confess and renounce your delayed obedience and doing your own will and plan. Confess and renounce your unwillingness to serve God and doing the good works that He prepared in advance for you to do. Lord, forgive me. I repent of the following sins. Lord, I commit myself to care for all my family members and build them in the truth of your word and train them to serve you. Lord, I commit myself to show them love and care so they will grow and get mature and start to serve you. Lord, I commit myself to work with you to make the life testimony of my family, attract others to know you and to start to serve you, and to cause others to revive and to commit their lives to follow you and serve you. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters who repented of their sins and committed their lives to build up their family members and invest in their children to train them to go on and serve you and be a good example to others to follow Christ. Lord, I pray for more leaders that you will raise up for those youths and children in order to serve you and lead others into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side. Spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see your face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life and living every day in the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround up like the eagle God, in the power of your love, and I will soar with you. Your Spirit leads me on, in the power of your love.
Lord, bless us, your church, and lead us to continue to train parents and families how to care for their children and raise them in the fear of God. Lord, we commit ourselves to continue to teach and train our children and disciples to go on and serve you, that they will be the future leaders who will make a difference in the world. Lord, we ask you to refill us with the Holy Spirit and give us the spiritual gifts that we need to go on and evangelize and make new disciples and train new workers to go and plant new Bible studies and congregations for the church. Lord, fulfill the vision of the church, multiplication in peace, with implementing the whole will of God. Lord, bless us, enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the morning hour, in the evening late, I'm gonna praise your name. In the morning hour, in the evening late, I'm gonna praise your name. In the evening late, I'm gonna praise your name. In the morning hour, in the evening late, I'm gonna praise your name. When I praise your name, my strength is in you. You strengthen me, you strengthen me, you strengthen me, Lord. And I praise your name, the demons flee. Tremble at the sound of your name. Tremble at the sound.